When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, Ben, we got another suggestion here from a listener who wrote in on Facebook.
Oh, awesome. Guys, when we were off the air earlier, Scott and I were talking about how we were running low on ideas.
That's right. That's some of the times when we get, when we read off our, Nuts and Bolts podcast, we get a lot of ideas from Facebook and Twitter and from,
email.
Of course, email. I kind of was combing through some of those like I promised I would. And, I think this is one that we read in maybe our last, Nuts and Bolts episode, but this one comes from Kirby. And Kirby wrote in two ideas, really. The Chaparral race cars, which I think we're working on for a future podcast.
Yeah, everybody act surprised.
Yeah, that's right.
When we do it.
And also, this two good ideas, and we're going to do both of them. Ariel Adam would make a good one is what Kirby suggested. So, Kirby, this one's for you because I also love the Ariel Adam. And I think Ben does as well. I think most people that see it really like this car.
It's a tough car to dislike, that's for sure.
It is.
So what is it for the uninitiated? It is a supercar, which means it's a sports car. It's mm-hmm. a performance vehicle. It's made in pretty low numbers, and it rivals race cars.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where if you just buy one, if you don't buy a kit car, and we'll get into that, but if you just buy one, you can't drive it on the street.
Downright affordable, though.
Downright affordable.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like it's designed by Ariel Motor Company of Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
It is also produced here in the United States. But it's the weird thing about this, Ben. I think the prices range from like $35,000, $38,000, something like that, mm-hmm. all the way up to about $75,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the top end. There's one more later that we're gonna clue in on that maybe more than that. No price was given for that one, but honestly, for the cars that this thing competes with on the street or on the track, if you want to say it that way, because it's mostly a track car.
Yeah, it's a track car.
I mean, let's be real about this. This is a track car, really.
Right.
The cars that this thing competes with, I mean, as far as 0 to 60 times, 0 to 100 to 0 times.
I think it's like under 3 seconds, 0 to 60.
It's incredible. The you'd be spending $1 million in some cases for some of the top end supercars.
Yes.
Whereas you can spend, let's say $50,000 and have a car that will embarrass that car on the track.
You're really good at this because the base price of an Ariel Adam 3 is $49,980.
Ariel Adam 3. Now, I'm glad you said that because we're at like the third, I guess you can call it generation of this, the third version of this that the company's offering now. Up until this point, they've had the Ariel Adam 2, that was probably the one that is featured in our article now that I think about it. We've got an article on our website, howstuffworks.com. It's, how the Ariel Adam works. And the main difference between those is that, there's a different engine configuration available now for the Ariadne 3. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about that right now, I guess, so that we can just knock that out. But in the U.S., up until the last version, you could still find Ariadne 2s for sale that will have this. But there was an option for two different engines in the Ariadne. And you could get either the the one that came standard with was General Motors' Ecotec engine, which is made in Germany. And it's the same engine that you'd find in the Cobalt SS or the Saturn models.
Four-cylinder.
Yeah, exactly. Four-cylinder. But it had two different there were two different horsepower versions. Actually, three. I'm sorry. There's one in between.
Interesting.
Yeah, it goes all the way from 140 horsepower up to 300 horsepower, depending on, you know, what options you chose. But even the budget model could keep up with the Porsche 911 turbo, Ben.
Which is crazy.
I know it.
It's crazy talk.
It's incredible. And if you were in Europe, you were able to get a Honda four-cylinder iVTEC engine, which was the same one that came, you know, comes in the Honda Civic and the Civic Type R models. That's the engine that I have in my car.
That is, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but I've got a considerably more weight in my car than this thing because the Ariadne is about 1,300 pounds, something like that? It may even be lighter now.
The Ariadne, we've got the weight listed as 1,005.
Okay. Oh, so it's right at 1,000 pounds. Okay. Right. All right. Makes sense. And now, I should clear this up too, because we just mentioned the Ariadne 2 engine options.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going through my notes here, but the base Ariadne 3, which has a base price of $49,980, so it's just under $50,000.
Yeah.
The only engine you can get here in the States now is the Honda engine. So they switched over to entirely the Honda K20 engine, which is a drive-by-wire system, six-speed transmission. Mm-hmm. A lot of goodies on this car. I mean,
that difference, the engine choice is the primary difference between the 2 and the 3.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the chassis of the Ariadne 3 is changed up a little bit for more interior space and less weight.
Okay, makes sense. And you can get it in three different power versions. You can get power ratings, I guess would be the way to say that.
Mm-hmm.
It ranges from 200 horsepower to 300 horsepower with one in between that's 245. And you had mentioned the 0-60 time earlier.
Yeah,
thing, right?
2.8 seconds,
something like that. It says 0-60 in sub-3 second times. Now, get this. I've also got a little kind of interesting thing, and I'm going to have to search for this for just a second here, Ben. But
yeah.
I saw a video on Ariel's site because I went to the Ariadne site about doing the perfect 0 to 100 to 0 run, and it was by Autocar.
Okay.
Oh, here it is. I got the note here.
Okay.
Right here.
I was, because whenever somebody says, I keep thinking about that Top Gear video. Whenever someone says the Adam, now that I watched it.
Yeah, go ahead. You watched it. What do you think?
It looks like he is going into outer space.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Jeremy Clarkson on Top Gear.
Yeah, which our listeners are familiar with. So there's this video you can check out, and this is just such a sidebar, but there's this video you can check out wherein our man JC is driving this. And because the Ariadne does not have a windshield, I mean, this thing looks like a dune buggy, a go-kart on steroids, essentially.
Just a frame.
And
like a ladder frame almost. It's really strange looking.
It might remind some people of the way that certain roller coasters look as far as construction. But so he's driving this thing and he's picking up the speed. And as we've said, this thing has some zip to it. And then his face starts doing that wind tunnel thing where it's like, oh, wait, nobody can see me.
Well, sure. Your lips are flapping there.
Yeah. Where, it's amazing to see how quickly it gets to that point.
Yeah, it's brutally fast.
It looks like he is getting smacked in the face with air.
Do you want me to tell you how fast it is, really?
I'll pass you.
Zero to 100 to zero.
Okay.
Now, that's a
standard.
That's a number that, you know, they do that with the Cobra. They do that with the McLarens, and they do that
with the
top end sports cars, right at the very top. Autocar.co.uk, they're kind of an online car news review type site. Well, they had a driver named Steve Sutcliffe. who describes what he calls the perfect 0 to 100 to 0 run. And he tells you what he has to do in order to make it all happen at exactly the right time so that, you know, it's not a fudged number, you know, that it's not, he didn't go up to 96 instead of 100, or he didn't go too far above 100 and make the time too long. But interesting description of what all has to happen. It looks, sounds kind of difficult, but.
What is it?
The time, I got the times for 0 to 100 to 0. I'll break it down this way.
All right.
0 to 100, 6.07 seconds, Ben.
Wow.
That's screaming fast. So standing stop to 100 miles per hour in 6 seconds, just over 6 seconds.
Wow.
Then from 100 to 0, which is also, that's ridiculously tough on a driver because it feels like your face is going to be pulled off.
Yeah.
Negative Gs. 4.21 seconds, 100 to 0. So combined, 0 to 100 to 0. 11.03 seconds.
11, wow.
11 seconds, basically.
That's got to be so disorienting.
Can you imagine what that's like? That exceeds anything I've ever experienced.
Yeah, I have a tough time figuring that out. I've had.
Well, no. You can watch the video. You can watch the video on Ariel's site. I mean, they've got I forget where it is exactly. I think it may be on, one of the secret pages that I'm going to tell you about in a moment that you can access that gives away some really cool information.
I wonder when you're going to get to those.
There's a string of videos on the right side, and one of them is the perfect 0 to 100 to 0. And watch it because it'll give you an idea of just how quickly all this happens.
Mm-hmm. Now, it sounds pretty good. Before we get to the secret parts, let's take a second and talk about the kit car aspect.
Oh, sure.
So you can drive it street legally, mm-hmm. or drive it on the street legally. So if you get it as a kit car, that basically means that everything is shipped to you in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a what they call a road pack. And a road pack will include turn signals, a horn, front and rear lights. Mm-hmm. And these are sort of the things that you need to drive on the street.
I see.
Right? And these are not things that will necessarily come on your pre-built.
Uh-huh.
So what you have to do is pick up that stuff, and then when you are putting the car together, and make no mistake, you'll be putting it together unless you get somebody else to, you have to be pretty careful about checking your state guidelines, because I don't know how many of our listeners have had this experience, but a friend of mine who for a long time drove a yellow Viper, not Viper, sorry. He wished he drove a yellow Viper. He drove a yellow Mustang and he had it kitted out in some crazy ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had this experience where he would be pulled over by police officers who wanted to check out his car.
Really?
Yeah. And more or less.
Hmm. Okay.
And, he did get a couple speeding tickets because he had a bit of a.
Are you saying wanted to check it out to see if it had the right equipment? Or are you saying they just thought it was a neat car and wanted to see it?
He said the second, but I suspect the first.
Yeah, probably.
And so if you're driving a car like this that is street legal, you will have people testing you.
Sure. Be prepared to be pulled over.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that on the site, there's an FAQ section.
Yes.
And I don't know if you read this or not, but one of the questions is, can you register it for road use in your state or province?
Right. Yeah.
And there's a whole legal description of what they do and do not allow. And Ariel Atom 3s are not considered to be federalized production vehicles and do not necessarily meet applicable FMVSS criteria, therefore, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Meaning they have no VIN number.
Yeah, exactly. They have no VIN number. So and no PIN number, I guess. So if you do want to register it, it's up to you to figure out how you're going to do that. If you're going to register it as a kit car, if you're going to register it, you know, there's ways around this in every state, but the company is saying it's up to you. Mm-hmm. It's not up to us.
And we wash our hands of it.
Exactly. And the way we assemble them, they're track cars.
Yeah.
And that's all they are. Now, one other thing. If you're done there with that, Ben, I want to mention one other quick thing here.
Yeah.
A lot of people are, by this point, maybe saying like, well, this is great, but how do I drive one?
This is great, but how do I drive one, Scott?
Something like that. Yeah. Anyways, maybe not exactly. That was a little awkward on my part, but, if you want to drive an Atom, you can do this. You can do it. You can register. It's the events are held in Virginia at the Virginia International Raceway on the Patriot Course. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is again from the website. You can do this. There's a 2011 event schedule. And, the thing is, these are already sold out. There are four events that are sold out. There are three still available and they're half day sessions. And, you know what? I've got another note here somewhere about, what you get and the price that it costs you to do this thing. But, oh, here it is. This is in 2007. Car and Driver went to one of these events. It's a half day event. You know, you set up for like 8 to 12 or 1 to 5, these sessions.
Okay.
You can also sign up for a full day event, which we'll talk about too in a minute. But, the half day package is, and this is again 2007, so the numbers might have changed a bit, but it was $500. You get three driving sessions, which two of which are follow the leader type things with the pace car on the track.
And okay.
You follow, still quick, yeah, but not as fast as you can go. The last session is as fast as you dare is what they called it.
Huh.
And remember, you're driving a $50,000 car, $70,000 car.
No windshield.
So whatever you want to do.
No helmet.
It's up to you. They do provide a helmet, driving suit, food and drinks throughout the day.
Oh, they do give you a helmet. Okay.
And, you can buy a DVD that has, two pictures, one camera angle that's pointed at you as you drive,
mm-hmm,
one that's pointed down the road, and the rest of it is like telemetry stuff, like, you know, the G's that you're pulling in the turns,
yeah,
the speed, where you're at in the course. It's really an interesting thing that you can purchase.
Gotta get that. If you're gonna do it, I say go the whole nine yards.
And if you want to do the full package, which is, the full day, which they did offer in 2007. I didn't see anything on the site about it now, but it's the entire day, of course, adds three additional driving sessions. So, and they throw in the DVD for you.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, you get more laps, you get twice as many laps, and the DVD is thrown in with that deal. At least it was. But I don't know. It seems like kind of a fun thing to do, but that's $1,500.
Do you think maybe we could talk our, producers and our bosses into letting us split one of the half day things?
Maybe.
You can drive twice. if that's what it takes.
No. We do it separate, of course. You know what? If you want, there's a deal. There's a deal on purchasing one of these things. Now you can find used cars available on the site as well.
Uh-huh.
You know, besides combing your own classified area, you know,
Craigslist or whatever.
Yeah, good luck finding one, right?
Because
there just aren't that many.
Be honest, there's not enough.
No, yeah, because people that get them hang on to them because they want something like this, a track day car. If you want to purchase a what they call spec racer, which is, you know, I'm sure you know about spec racing, where it's all the vehicles are prepared the exact same way.
Right.
They race against each other, so it's equal competition. Get this, Ben. There's a pretty good deal. Complete race ready spec race Adam is $38,500.
That is a really good
deal.
That's
the entire package. That's all set and ready to go. Now that's a track only vehicle. That's not, you can't drive that on the street.
That's surprising though.
And what that also gives you is an entrance into the VIR club, which is the Virginia Raceway Club, which is the initiation fee, which is $2,500 normally, but you get that thrown in with the vehicle. There's no cash equivalent to that, by the way. You can't say, I don't want a membership and, you know, take that off the car. But that does allow you into the racing series where you can race against other Ariel Adams. And there are 10 events scheduled throughout the year, this year at least, starting in June. They go all the way through the end of November. So remember, in Virginia, it's a longer race season than normal. So
that's true.
The weather holds out all the way through November 27th. And it looks like, you know, they've got a daily schedule where it looks like you got several practice and qualifying sessions, and then you get a 20-minute sprint race at the end for that, and 10 times throughout the year. So it's a pretty good deal, really.
That seems like a great – Frankly, I'm still baffled that the car is that inexpensive.
That's like $12,000 off of the base price of the Adam 3, really.
Yeah.
For the spec racer. Now, I don't know how that's prepared or what that gets you, but that's not a bad deal, really.
Well, it still gets you, hopefully, what the creator of the vehicle, Simon Saunders, called it. I'm sorry. I'm shuffling through notes
here.
That's
all right.
Okay, here we go. I really like this quotation because I think it sums it up. This is a vehicle that affords drivers the thrill of the motorcycle and the safety of a car.
Ah, very good. That's exactly why I would buy one.
Yeah, because
That's precise. That hits it right on the head. I would buy one, because I'm terrified of getting on a motorcycle myself.
It's true, you guys. Scott doesn't want to ride one.
I don't. I would love the speed. I love the sound. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of going that fast and that quick.
Taking the corners is pretty cool.
Exactly. But I don't like the fact that there's only two wheels.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people love motorcycles and they swear by them, they're not as dangerous as people say, or maybe they are, but I'm a good rider and I can handle it, but I prefer four wheels.
I see what you're saying there. The thing about motorcycles that it is true that motorcycles often get a bad rap or get a stereotype for being more dangerous than they are, but when people say it comes down to the driver or the rider, it doesn't just come down to the person operating the motorcycle. It comes down to the drivers around them often. And oftentimes those can a miscalculation by somebody else can lead to something potentially very dangerous for a motorcycle rider.
That's true.
And I could see that the safety of the car argument for the aerial, except that the body is almost non-existent.
Yeah, true, Ben, but you're surrounded by a cage. You're surrounded by a welded – it's like a racing cage.
Yeah.
Really. And you know what? Not a cage. It's
more like a crib because there's no top.
There's not, but there's a roll bar for that situation. But yeah. I see what you mean. You're basically in an open cockpit racer, and you are exposed to the elements. And if you're not wearing a helmet, I'm sure that there's the bugs and teeth thing going on there too. And they do offer a tiny windshield on
those things. It's a racing windshield.
Sure. It's one of those accessories that you can add. There's a bunch of options that you can put on these things.
Sure.
And that is one, a tiny little windshield. And in fact, you can hold it up and it looks like almost looks like a pair of glasses is what you put. Yeah. You bolt onto the front of the thing. It's that small. More like just a little visor is really all it is. But you ready for the big daddy here? The big exciting announcement. It's not really an announcement though.
It's kind of a secret.
Yeah, it kind of is, but it's a well-kept secret, I think, because it's been around for a little while.
Yes.
But I would be willing to venture that even Ariel Adam fans are maybe not ready for this.
This might surprise you guys too. Scott and I had briefly talked about this off the air, but I know you were surprised to find it, and you were surprised that I had found it.
I was. I had heard rumor of this a while back, but now I've seen one.
Now it's confirmed.
I've seen one. Yeah, I've seen a video of one.
Super producers, can we get a drum roll, please? And thank you.
Right. Here we go. Here it is. The Ariel Adam 500 V8.
What?
I know. So we're talking about, prior to this, we're talking about a supercharged four-cylinder engine.
Right?
Okay. A little Honda engine. Mm-hmm. Nothing to laugh at. I mean, these are again, supercar speed, right?
Right. Especially given their weight to power ratio.
With a four-cylinder engine. Now, get this, Ben. This is a 500 horsepower V8 engine in an Ariel Atom.
And the Ariel Atom, the modifications for this thing, and as far as the body goes, are, if any, minor.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about just changing the mountings for the engine. It's really all it is.
Yeah. So it still weighs like 1,000 pounds.
This is the thing, Ben. It weighs 1,000 pounds, and I'll tell you about that in just one second to give you an idea of how quickly that thing is going to move. But it's a limited edition of just 25 cars, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, when this is written on their site, this comes from Ariel's site, 20 of the 25 cars were pre-sold.
Wow.
They're already sold. So there's five left, and I don't even know if that's true anymore. Maybe they're already gone.
Yeah.
They might be because you're talking about a vehicle that, of course, each one is going to be custom tailored to the owner's specs. They don't talk about a price here, so I think you have to contact them to get the price. But it's basically nothing more than a race car, really. I mean, this is just – I don't even know if there's a possibility of this one being street legal. I don't think that there is.
I don't know if you could.
I would doubt it. I really doubt it because this thing, it's a three liter V8 engine. Now you may say 3 liters is not a very big V8, right?
Right.
500 horsepower. That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
I don't have the torque number in front of me, but it does rev to 10,500 RPMs, which is pretty fast for a V8 to rev.
Yes.
V8 engines usually rev much, much lower. We're talking about a serious race car engine here. It's an alloy and aluminum engine. Of course, race car specs throughout. It's got dry sump lubrication, 8 throttle bodies with sequential fuel injection, ceramic coated stainless steel exhaust. I don't know. It's just got – it's a six-speed sequential race gearbox. It's got, you know, all the goodies, all the track day goodies,
all
right?
All the good stuff.
Now, to give you an idea of just how fast this thing is, and I don't have like a 0 to 60 number or whatever, but the top speed for this one – now, remember, the other one, a four-cylinder engine, is quick.
Yeah, it's quick, but the top speed is like – what, 135?
Exactly, 135. I'm glad you said it because the top speed on this one, 200 miles per hour, Ben.
What?
200 miles per hour. So this is, again, a track day car. Just to give you an idea, now we talked about – do we talk about power-to-weight ratio? I don't think we really
oh,
did.
Oh, we just mentioned that – oh, I'm shuffling. We just mentioned that it's out of the park on this, which is one of the reasons that it can go – so quickly.
Yeah. Now you know what I'm talking about, right? The power to weight ratio. Now let's say that, if you got a, McLaren F1. Okay. That's $1 million car.
Right.
The power to weight ratio on that is 4.01 to 1, which means it has, four pounds to, 1 horsepower. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Now the Bugatti Veyron, in contrast, has 4.35 to 1. Mm-hmm. The Ariel Atom is 4.1 to
there
1.
We go.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the standard Ariel Atom. Now when you get up to the point where it's you're talking about, they do it by ton in this one, which is I don't know, we'll have to figure this out here, but
okay.
If you compare, let's say, the Bugatti Veyron, which is a $1 million supercar, actually $2 million supercar.
Yeah.
They say that the Bugatti Veyron has a about 530 horsepower per ton. Okay. The Ariel Atom V8. Now remember, it's only 1,000 pounds.
Right.
500 horsepower. That's twice as much as the Bugatti Veyron. That means it has about 900, almost 1,000 horsepower per ton, which is. I can't even imagine what this is like to drive. I mean, I don't know what a 0 to 60 number would be on this car. I don't know what a 0 to 100 number would be on this car.
Yeah,
even
or
to
0, 100 to 0.
Or even to 200 to 0.
Yeah.
This thing, if it's pulling twice as much power to weight as a Bugatti Veyron, just imagine the thrill that thing is to drive.
Would you drive it?
I think I would, yeah. Yeah, I definitely would. I mean, on a track, of course, you'd have to. You can't drive it anywhere else. But I think this is one of those cars that you would have to be taught how to drive.
There's probably – yeah, I could definitely see that because there – I was going to say probably, but the truth is there have to be special concerns, especially when you get to issues like how to safely decelerate, how to take a turn without – turning over.
Well, how to make sure that your tires are warm enough to be able to turn.
Yeah, true.
Because I could see the instant that you step on the throttle, the thing's going to go sideways or it's going to spin.
Yeah.
There are definitely, you know, ways to drive supercars. There's someone teach – generally when you buy a high-end car like that, someone will teach you how to drive that vehicle safely.
That's part of the package.
That's part of the package. I know it was when I worked with Chrysler. I know that when you bought a Viper, you were taught – how to drive, but you don't know if it's a dealer or if you could go do track day events. They taught you how to drive something like that safely. And, you know, you were wise to listen because a lot of them ended up wrapped around trees in the neighborhood because someone was showing off for the neighbor.
Which is terrible.
It is. And I can
it does
see
happen.
I can see the exact same thing happening with this car. Not only the 500 V8, but the standard Atom even.
Sure.
It's that fast. This car is a great, great car. And, you know, if you don't know a whole lot about it, check out AerialAtom.com and look at some of the videos. Just read about the car and you'll be blown away.
And watch that Top Gear video.
Definitely. It's 9 minutes and I'd say it's well worth your time.
Well
worth your time to see Clarkson's face just destroyed in this thing. It's amazing. It just gets so warped. It's really funny.
So you would drive the 500 if someone taught you how?
I would.
Okay.
I would.
I could see that.
But you know what? It would be a nice – you'd have to step up, I think, from driving the standard Atom up to that.
You'd have to have like that transition?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you couldn't just jump from my Honda Civic into this thing and expect to be able to handle it.
Yeah. I don't even know if my Monte Carlo counts as a car in comparison.
This would be like – you know, trying to – this would almost be like stepping into a Formula One car and trying to control it.
Very close.
Yeah. I bet it really would be. And if not even more difficult.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good comparison here, and I don't even know if I can find one because you're talking about 1,000 horsepower per ton.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
It's almost weightless.
It's incredible.
All right. So we're going to wrap this up because I think we might be falling in, we might be in danger of falling into some hardcore fanboy talk about this.
I mean, with a weight to power ratio of, that comes down to like 2 to 1.
Yeah.
2 horsepower per pound.
The horsepower outnumbers.
Wait, no, I've got that backwards. Ah, forget it. I'm going to script the math. I don't even want to try it. So I'm just going to go by the ton numbers. So 1,000 horsepower per ton.
Sure.
I'm definitely a fan.
I'm a fan as well. However, I don't know if I would drive even the regular one without some training.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and you can get that. I mean, you can go to that half-day event. You can find it on their site.
Mm-hmm. And while you're on the internet, guys, go ahead and let us know what you think of the Ariel Atom. Let us know if you have one. Lucky you.
Wouldn't that be great if we had a listener with an Ariel Atom?
That would be amazing. Send us pictures.
It's possible.
It's quite possible.
You know, we're not that far. I'm sorry, Ben. I keep interrupting. That far from Virginia.
We are not.
It could be a nice weekend road trip up to watch some of these spec racers.
Just saying.
That would be fun.
We're just saying.
Or a track day event.
And if you have something you'd like to add, or if you'd like to help us figure out how to get there, hit us up on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You may have heard of our website, HowStuffWorks.com. And if you have a suggestion for a topic for an upcoming episode, please send us an email at
CarStuff@HowStuffWorks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.